Hello, ho ho. I'm Rob, a producer on the Black Country Talking News, and this week's edition is for the 22nd of December, 2021.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by Sightloss charity Beacon Centre. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. All you need to do is say, "Alexa, play Black Country Talking News." Our Talking News service is also available via the following methods: calling 01902 213 210, visiting our website www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast on the Black Country Radio website, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by simply searching Beacon Black Country Talking News and hitting the subscribe button, and on your mobile or tablet device by downloading the free British Wireless for the Blind Talking News application from your App Store. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Thank you, Simon. And speaking for us this week, we have myself, Rob, Mina, Craig, Roger, Helen, Angela, Christine, Ed, Liz, Ian, Mike, and of course, Flashback Roger. In this week's edition, we have an update from Beacon, some local news from the Black Country. We have the quiz with Mina, news from West Bromwich Albion and Wolves, a Did You Know section from Flashback Roger, the weather, a 10-day workout, an historical Christmas poem, Mina's Christmas cracker, and rounding all that off with a piece from Craig covering a plethora of facts all about Christmas. However, we start this week with a message. Please note that this edition of the Black Country Talking News will be the last one of this year, and we'll be returning on the 12th of January 2022. Later in January, we will also be launching a preliminary listener survey where you can share with us all your views on the Talking News and give you the chance to offer direct feedback as to what you'd like included in the future. We look forward to hearing from you. Up now we have our guess the sound question. I'm going to play a sound clip, and all you have to do is simply guess what it is. So, here's this week's clip. Have a think on that, and Mina will reveal the answer later, alongside the usual quiz answers. We kick off as always then, with our first block of local news, brought to us by Angela, Ed, Liz, Ian, and first up, we hear from Christine.
Plans to tear down Dudley Hippodrome for a university campus are set to go ahead after an attempt to save it was rejected by government chiefs. Dudley Council ruled last month the historic Art Deco Theatre should be knocked down and replaced with a campus specialising in nursing and healthcare courses. But the proposal was still subject to approval from Michael Gove, Secretary of State for Levelling Up, Communities and Housing, who could call in and review the decision. Now it has been revealed that Mr. Gove's department has declined to intervene to save the Hippodrome and the adjacent land and buildings in Castle Hill, as it cited the decision was for the council to determine. The decision by the government department was issued on Wednesday, as it said planning decisions should be made at a local level wherever possible. Residents had called for the site to be retained for leisure or tourism use and voiced concerns the plans were not befitting of an important gateway to the town, especially as Dudley is bidding to become a city. However, council chiefs have repeatedly insisted all realistic options had been exhausted and the building had been subject to vandalism over the years. Councillor Simon Phipps, Cabinet Member for Regeneration and Enterprise, said, "We are pleased the Secretary of State has concluded that intervention is not necessary in this case. This has been a long, drawn-out process, but we owe it to the people of Dudley and the students of the future to get this done."
Passengers have spoken of relief and happiness at being able to use the Metro again after services resumed. The West Midlands Metro had been suspended since November the 13th after cracks were discovered on a number of vehicles, forcing the entire service to stop and leaving thousands of passengers seeking alternative travel. Since the service was suspended, the Metro team had worked to complete extensive testing and commissioning of 8 new trams, as well as working with the tram manufacturer to deliver the repair programme on trams in the existing fleet. The feeling amongst those awaiting the Metro at Wolverhampton St George's, the terminus of the service, was one of relief at the return of a service they depended upon. Daniel Westwood was returning home to West Bromwich from his work as a cleaner at the Vauxhall garage near the Royal Stop, and the 36-year-old said its return made travelling so much easier for him. He said, "It's fantastic to see the Metro back, as it makes it so much easier to get to and from work for me, because I was having to take up to an hour and a half on the bus, whereas this is 35 minutes. I understand why they did close the service, as passenger safety is everything, and the last thing they would want is for someone to get hurt through an accident. It all seems fine to me, as I got on and felt comfortable and safe, and I'm just glad to see it back." There was a steady number of passengers getting on and off the trams as they pulled into and out of Wolverhampton, with trams arriving and leaving on time. West Midlands Metro said it would work to increase the frequency of its service as the remainder of the 21 tram fleet was repaired and returned to service.
The peak in Omicron cases in the West Midlands is expected around the middle to the end of January, health chiefs have said. The news came as it was revealed that Birmingham is still way below the national average for number of people who have had their first, second and booster vaccination jabs. Speaking at this week's local COVID engagement board, Dr. Justin Varney, Director of Public Health at Birmingham, said that he expects the spread of the Omicron variant to follow the same pattern to the spread of the Delta variant earlier this year. That means cases will increase in London before spreading to the rest of the country. It has been confirmed that Omicron is more infectious than any previous variant faced, though how severe it is not yet known. Dr. Varney was keen to stress the importance of getting jabbed over the next few weeks, with a spike in cases expected following the Christmas holidays. He said when Delta first came, Delta appeared in the southeast in London and then came up the train line into New Street Station and across the Midlands. It came from Birmingham and out into the wider region. So if we can get everyone jabbed over the next 2 weeks, then we will cut off that pressure on health and social care at the end of January. That's why the race is on now.
People have been called on to take a COVID-19 test before meeting others in crowded places during the run-up to Christmas amid the Omicron variant. Health chiefs have made the plea for people to do their bit to help fight the virus, with more people expected to meet with friends or family over the period. It comes despite lateral flow test kits becoming unavailable online amid high demand, with hopes the issue will be resolved by the end of the week. Meanwhile, people have been strongly urged by health bosses to either attend a walk-in centre for a test or visit a pharmacy near them to collect the tests. Councillor Jasbir Jaspal, Wolverhampton Council's Cabinet Member for Public Health and Wellbeing, said one in three people with COVID-19 do not have symptoms but can still infect others. Rapid tests help to check if someone has COVID-19, and if they test positive and self-isolate, it helps stop the virus spreading. Remember that, even if you are vaccinated, you could still catch the virus or pass it on. Doing rapid tests helps to protect yourselves and others.
Almost 20,000 cases of fly tipping have been reported to councils across the Black Country and Staffordshire during the first year of the pandemic, figures show. Data from the Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs showed 19,611 reports of fly tipping were made in 2020 and 2021, up from 13,527 the year before. And several fly tipping incidents were recorded in the Black Country and Staffordshire as rubbish continued to litter the streets, creating an eyesore for residents. Campaigners say significant progress needs to be made to tackle the issue, which was exacerbated due to lockdown restrictions last year and tips being closed. Sarah Lee, Director of Policy and Campaigns at the Countryside Alliance, said, "From quiet rural lanes and farmers' fields to bustling town centres and residential areas, fly tipping continues to cause misery across the country. Lockdown and the subsequent closure of tips only exacerbated this situation, we would urge local authorities to think very carefully about preventing access to these facilities in future. Figures show 3,056 incidents were reported to Wolverhampton Council, an increase of 24% on the year before, where 2,463 discoveries were made. A total of 13 fines, totalling a combined £8,200 from court convictions, were issued in the area last year, up from 9 in 2019 to 2020. Wolverhampton Council carried out 1,017 enforcement actions in 2020 to 21, including 67 fixed penalty notices. While in Dudley, fly tipping reached record levels with 1,834 fly tipping incidents, an increase on the 1,224 reports the year before, and the highest number since comparable records began in 2012 to 2013. However, no fines resulting from court convictions were issued in the area last year, down from 1 in 2019 to 2020. Dudley Council carried out 674 enforcement actions in 2020 to 21, including 23 fixed penalty notices.
Now it's time to hand over to Helen, who has for us this week's Beacon Update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen with your last Beacon Update of 2021. So, let me start by wishing you all a very Merry Christmas and a happy and hopefully healthy 2022. I think we'll all be hoping that next year is finally the year of a bit more normality. But remember, whatever it throws at us, Beacon will be there to support you. Now, if you're shopping with us over the festive season, please be aware that our opening hours will be a little different to usual between December the 24th and January the 4th. On Christmas Eve, our shops will close at 1:30 p.m. Then between December the 25th and the 28th, all our stores will remain closed. Then, from December 29th to the 31st, normal opening hours will be in operation. Between January the 1st and the 3rd, our stores will be closed again. Things will then be back to normal from January the 4th. Don't forget, you can also find our shop opening hours on our website, www.beaconvision.org/shops, and you can snap up a Beacon bargain 24 hours a day on our eBay store. Just head to www.ebay.co.uk/USR/Beacon Charity Shop. Now, over the past few days, we've been opening our very own Beacon Advent Calendar on social media, so we thought we'd share some of the days with you here as well. On day 3 of our Christmas countdown, we shared how your small change can make a big difference. We've got hundreds of collection boxes dotted in pubs, shops, pharmacies and clubs around the region. So we'd like to say thanks to all of our wonderful supporters who helped fill them up with loose change and help us raise thousands of pounds to support our work every year. Remember, if you're out and about over the festive season and spot one, we'd so appreciate it if you could pop a few pennies in so we can support someone with sight loss in 2022. On day 4 of our advent, we told Santa that if he finds himself struggling to read the addresses on his list this year, he can get himself an appointment at our low vision hub and our team will be happy to help with a magnifier. We've got a range of low vision equipment to help anyone make the most of their sight, and with prices starting from under £2, they make the ideal stocking filler as well. To find out more, call our sight loss advisors on 01902 880111. And on day 5, we asked the question as to whether you'd like to start 2022 with a £1,000 windfall. I'm guessing the answer is yes. Well, we've given you the chance to win that each and every week if you sign up to the Wolves Lottery. You'll also be supporting people with sight loss with a donation of 65 pence from every £1 played made to the Beacon Centre. It costs just £1 a week to enter, and you can find out more on our website, www.beaconvision.org/wolves-lottery. That's it for this week. Hopefully, I'll be back to catch up with you all again in 2022. Bye-bye.
Cheers for that update, Helen. Up next, we have another block of local news, and starting this, we hear from Angela.
The Wolverhampton councillor, who was in charge of helping businesses get COVID-19 grants, has been found guilty of fraudulently trying to claim £10,000. Harman Banga and his wife Nina Kumari were both found guilty of fraud by false representation at Birmingham Magistrates Court after a seven-day trial. The couple had claimed Kumari was eligible for a COVID business grant for Pizza Plus, a takeaway on the Orchard, Bilston, in April 2020. However, when Wolverhampton Council's counter-fraud team took a closer look, they found the premises was boarded up and did not even have electricity. Instead of admitting wrongdoing immediately, the former cabinet member for the economy tried to convince the court they had a business by calling several witnesses who claimed they regularly ate from Pizza Plus. However, a lack of paperwork, invoices, marketing resources and tax returns for the business meant the couple's charade collapsed. Banga resigned from the cabinet when the fake grant allegations surfaced in June last year, and the Labour Party suspended him pending the outcome of the trial. The hearing did not have a jury, but was instead ruled upon by District Judge David Murray, who had sat through all the evidence. He said to Banga, "There was not a business, and you did try to obtain the grant by false representation. Then you employed sophisticated methods to bolster your case that the business was open. I find you guilty." The couple refused to comment outside the court after being found guilty and were released to appear before Birmingham Crown Court on January the 14th for sentencing.
West Midlands Police will see its budget rise by nearly £40 million next year, the Home Office has announced. The 6% increase is the biggest of any force in the country outside the Met, and sees the total budget for West Midlands Police soar to £694.9 million. Despite the funding increases, police and crime commissioners in the region have warned that council tax precepts are likely to rise next year to protect services. Police and Crime Minister Kit Malthouse said, "Police officers in the West Midlands are doing great work pursuing drug gangs, protecting vulnerable people from harm and tackling neighbourhood crimes such as theft. This cash injection means that they can clamp down on the crimes that really matter to people with even more determination." Police forces in the West Midlands have already benefited from extra officers being out on the streets after more than 11,000 have been hired to forces across England and Wales over the last 2 years, helping to drive crime down. This increase in funding will see even more officers hired to tackle crime, continue to remove weapons from our streets and support communities to feel safer. However, Simon Foster, the Labour Police and Crime Commissioner for the West Midlands, said his force would be left 1,000 officers short of 2010 levels, with a projected funding shortfall of £7 million in 2022-23. He said, "The government is yet again providing us with a stark choice: raise local council tax or face yet further cuts to policing." The effect of central government decision-making in recent years has been that the people of the West Midlands have had to pay more local council tax for less local policing.
Works near the Merrihill Shopping Centre will start in the new year in preparation for the Wensbury to Briley Hill metro route. Preliminary works will take place along the embankment in Briley Hill from the 17th of January ahead of the main construction commencing in the spring. This will require the full closure of the embankment to traffic for 5 weeks to allow for upgrades to utility services. Motorists are being advised to plan ahead, leave more time for their journey and use real-time travel information provided by West Midlands Roads to stay up to date. Councillor Simon Phipps, Dudley Council Cabinet Member for Regeneration and Enterprise, said the benefits to the borough and indeed the region of the Metrolink will be wide-reaching. Increasing public transport provisions for students, residents, commuters and those visiting our borough, helping them to move freely across the West Midlands and make the most of all the opportunities our region has to offer. It is hoped work along the embankment will be completed ready for the February half-term period in order to benefit the retail and hospitality offerings within the area. Once the first phase is complete, further utility upgrades and diversions will continue throughout the winter and early spring 2022, with localised lane restrictions in place.
A new temporary Job Centre Plus has opened in the Wharf Run Centre in Wolverhampton. The new office will provide increased support to all Universal Credit claimants. The site's 40 work coaches will help people looking for work in Wolverhampton with one-to-one tailored support to find their next role. Mims Davies, Minister for Employment, said, "We know this has been a challenging time for many people, and that's why we're boosting our DWP Job Centre support in every community in the UK, including here in Wolverhampton. Every customer benefits from having a dedicated work coach. They know the local jobs market and work with local businesses to match job seekers to the latest opportunities. It's brilliant to see our plan for jobs in action, from Kickstart to sector-based work academy programmes. Our work coaches are there to help people thrive and progress in work." Wharf Run Job Centre Plus is one of the new temporary sites announced by the DWP earlier this year, building on the existing 639 job centres across the UK. The additional space will accommodate new work coaches recruited in the Black Country, helping more people to transform their lives through tailored employment support. Anna Maria De Vico is the work coach team leader overseeing the new site, bringing with her 16 years of DWP experience. "This is an exciting time for us and our customers. We now have the capacity to expand our tailored face-to-face support. Working with their dedicated work coach, our customers will be empowered in their journey back to work," she said.
Work to regenerate Briley Hills High Street is underway after council chiefs successfully bid for £10 million to spruce up the area. The funding from the Future High Streets Fund will be used to revamp the town and link it up with the planned West Midlands Metro terminus. The route, which connects the town to Wensbury via Dudley and Tipton, is expected to open up to passengers in 2024, transport chiefs say. Councillor Simon Phipps, Cabinet Member for Regeneration and Enterprise, said, "This is an exciting time for Briley Hill, and the local community is really coming together to make fantastic things happen, such as the incredible In Bloom award winning. Working together with the community, we have secured significant funding for the town and physical improvements are already visible in the centre. 2022 will be an even busier year, with construction works also due to begin for the Wensbury to Briley Hill Metro extension, which could cause some disruption, so we would urge people to plan ahead before they travel. The money will also be used to refurbish the library and reopen the public toilets, with work to improve the high street already starting up, including redundant furniture being removed from the high street along with railings. A first phase of highway works will also begin in January, which will include improvements to the traffic signals junction on Venture Way and Mill Street, and will last for around 3 months. The second phase will continue for a further 3 month period. Works will seek to improve air quality and reduce energy consumption and congestion. The town is also benefiting from £2.2 million of funding via the High Street's Heritage Action Zone, which has so far seen improvements made to the War Memorial on Church Street, with further plans including a series of building projects and public realm improvements.
With another collection of questions to ponder over, up next, we have Mina.
Hello and welcome to this week's Flashback Quiz. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Rogers' Did You Know feature. But for now, here are your questions. Are you ready? Question 1. Where in the world was a man killed by a falling cow? Question 2. How many spam emails are sent in order to get a single reply? Question 3. How were the first vacuum cleaners powered? Question 4. What were the names of the kings depicted by playing cards? Question 5. What did the ancient Mayans use for currency? And finally, question 6. In what year was an X first known to be used as a kiss in a letter? As always, I'll be back to reveal the answers later in the show. But for now, good luck.
Thank you for those, Mina. I'll give those a ponder. Now we head into another block of local news. And starting this one, we hear from Ed.
German discount supermarket chain Aldi wants to build a £5 million new store in Sedgley. Aldi has submitted a planning application for a new superstore on Bilston Street, which will create 45 new jobs. An Aldi spokesman said part of the site is currently used as a car park and other areas are vacant and unkempt. A new Aldi store here will regenerate a significant site within Sedgley and offer a multi-million pound investment into the local community. The site will be accessed via Bilston Street with 91 car parking spaces and new landscaping at the boundaries. Aldi said patrons of the Red Lion Hotel will also get a new car park as part of the development, and shoppers will be able to park for free outside the store for up to 90 minutes, which would be a boost to local shops. The spokesman said a new, smaller car park will be available for customers of the Red Lion Hotel. Aldi is committed to delivering developments that are in keeping with the local area and provide additional choice for the community. The new store's glass frontage will make the area more attractive for pedestrians and walking and passing motorists. Inside the store, shoppers will have more space with a modern design that makes access for goods quicker and easier than ever before. There will be four electric vehicle charging points with infrastructure installed for additional charging points in future. As well as the 45 new jobs at the store, there will be additional employment opportunities during construction of the building, which could be open by the end of next year if planning permission is granted.
Bird flu has been confirmed in the Canada geese population at West Park in Wolverhampton. People have been urged to stay away from sick or dead birds after the case of avian influenza was recorded in the birds at the city's main park. It comes after cases were found in Canada geese in Victoria Park, Tipton, in swans at Stubbers Green in Aldridge, and in birds at Chasewater Country Park. The AH5N1 strain is described by experts as being highly pathogenic to other birds, meaning it is an extremely contagious disease which can kill. The risk to human health is considered very low, but health chiefs have still urged people not to touch sick live birds or carcasses just in case. John Denley, Director of Public Health in Wolverhampton, said, "I would like to reassure residents that the risk of them catching avian flu is very low. This is an infectious virus which spreads among birds and is very unusual for humans to be affected. However, we are issuing a precautionary warning as it is possible for humans to catch the virus through close contact with an infected bird. Therefore, it is very important that you do not touch any sick or dead wild birds you may find. Equally, you must not touch their droppings, eggs or bedding. If you find any dead wild birds, report them to Wolverhampton Council's Park Rangers team on 07766 473 150. In addition, please do not feed any birds until further notice, as this encourages them to congregate and risks spreading the infection to other birds.
A council chief in the Black Country is looking to explore different proposals which could inject new life into a historic arts centre. Councillor Sean Kesey, Dudley Council's Cabinet Member for Digital, Customer and Commercial Services, wants to explore all options to revive and reinvent Netherton Arts Centre. He believes the site has potential to become a successful community venue, able to offer more intimate events and support smaller acts and emerging local and regional talent. It could complement Dudley and Stourbridge Town Halls and ensure the borough has a range of venues to attract art and culture to the area. Council staff are carrying out a condition report to assess how much investment might be needed to reinvigorate the site, to enable artists to have the facilities required and to provide facilities that customers would require to have a fantastic experience. Councillor Kesey said, "Netherton Arts Centre is a classic Victorian building in the heart of one of our local communities. From the outset, we must acknowledge this is a building in need of some TLC, but I want to explore all options to see how we can inject new life into this historic venue for the benefit of local people, whilst at the same time generating a commercial return for Dudley Council. We're currently assessing what's possible and talking to local groups about their experience of using the building. We are in the very early stages of this work and some funding may need to be identified. People who have ideas on the future use of Netherton Art Centre should email nac@dudley.gov.uk.
Environmental campaigners in Wolverhampton have given their backing to the council's huge New Year project to plant more than 20,000 trees in 15 parks and open spaces across the city. Following a consultation with members of the public, the council has given the go-ahead for the planting to begin in January, with the majority of sites selected on the eastern side of the city, where there are fewer trees. The council secured almost £130,000 from the Woodland Trust earlier this year, with a specific focus on native species such as English oak, hawthorn, crabapple, silver birch and hazel. Each of the trees will be up to 60 centimetres high, with most planting areas fenced off. The Trust has provided funding for the 10 largest sites. Councillor Steve Evans, Cabinet Member for City Environment and Climate Change, said, "It's fantastic that so much planting is planned for our city. Each tree brings us closer to a clear, green environment. People are becoming much more aware of the benefits trees can provide. They capture carbon from the atmosphere, offer shade in hot weather, limit the risks of flooding and create a safe habitat for wildlife. Plus, they give us the chance to get out into nature and experience a boost to our own emotional health and well-being, something which has become increasingly important over the last 18 months.
A dedicated hotline where people can report the sale of suspected fake goods has been launched across Dudley Borough. Dudley Council's Trading Standards Department made the move as part of its work to crack down on the sale of illicit goods, including cigarettes and clothing. It comes after a tip-off from a member of the public led to more than £5,000 worth of fake cigarettes and tobacco being seized from a store in Stourbridge. Councillor Nicholas Barlow, Cabinet Member for Health and Adult Social Care, said, "We see the dedicated hotline as being a crucial part of our work to tackle the sale of illicit goods in our borough. People can report issues to us with the confidence it is anonymous. We really need people to be our eyes and ears and tell us if they have suspicions. Not only do fake goods cost us in terms of the economy and jobs, but some products could actually be dangerous, such as illegal vaping products. In the UK, the sales of illicit goods cost the economy more than £9 billion in lost revenue, £4 billion in unpaid tax, as well as 60,000 jobs, according to an analysis. It's believed globally the trade is estimated to be worth in excess of £360 billion. Products most likely to be counterfeited include alcohol, fragrance, cigarettes, toys, and mobile phones and accessories. With Trading Standards Chief believing the volume of fake goods entering the UK is likely to have increased due to more people buying online amid COVID-19. People are urged to support the Council's work and report suspicious activity by calling 01384 814 600. Reports can be made anonymously.
Up now we have Mina with another edition of our festive favourite. It's the Christmas Cracker.
Hello, I'm Mina, and here's your Christmas cracker joke to get you in that festive mood. What's got four legs and flashes red? Rudolph needing his nose changed. What happens when a snowman stubs his toe? It gets thaw. Why don't you ever see Father Christmas in hospital? Because he has his private elf care. Doctor, doctor, I've got a mince pie stuck up my nose. Well, what you need is some cream. And finally, what kind of music do elves like best? Rap music. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that hilarity, Mina. Up next, we have our final block of local news. And starting this one, it's Ian.
There were smiles all round as families and lovers of Christmas came to see a highlight of the festive season. Hundreds of people came to Market Square in Wolverhampton last Friday to catch a glimpse of the Christmas Coca-Cola truck, a vehicle made famous by the television adverts, as part of a special stop on the Real Magic Christmas Truck Tour. A steady stream of people joined the queue to get a seasonal selfie in front of the truck, while live entertainment was provided by a gospel choir singing Christmas songs and food stalls were set up nearby. The truck made the special stop in Wolverhampton after issues around a technical glitch meant the planned visit on Wednesday, December the 8th, was cancelled, leaving those in attendance disappointed. Nikki Starling had been one of those left disappointed a week ago, having travelled over from Cannock, and the 34-year-old said she wanted to be first in line with her friend Claire Taylor to see the truck. She said, "We didn't get to see it last week, having come all the way from Cannock, only to be told that it had broken down and wasn't coming. But it was a nice surprise to find it was coming today." Ms. Starling was one of many to get photos taken in front of the truck, which is on a national tour, with plenty of families stopping by the truck as they did their festive shopping. Claire Campbell was one of those out shopping with her partner Andrew and their children Ava, Madison and Cass. And the 32-year-old from Parkfield said it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see it. She said, "It's been a brilliant day and definitely makes up for last week as the children have been able to see it. The setup here has been great and I love the singing. Plus, I've been singing the song from the advert and trying to get the children to sing it as well."
Former Bake Off contestant Terry Harthill has worked his magic again. This time, he has been commissioned to create a likeness of the Hogwarts Express locomotive from cake. Terry, aged 59, from Wordsley, has previously baked copies of Hagrid's Hut, the gamekeeper's home, as well as a miniature replica of Hogwarts, which both also feature in the Harry Potter books and films. His latest creation has taken 60 hours to make and bake and stands about 4 feet long and just under 12 inches high. Terry has found his previous occupations as a ceramicist and engineer useful in his commissions for cake creations. The latest creation is set to be shown off at a special event at the World of Harry Potter attraction near London. The father of two said, "The cake has been commissioned for a party for Harry Potter appreciation enthusiasts in conjunction with Warner Brothers Studios. It is made from a rich fruit cake with confectionery additions such as licorice for the coal. During the past year, I have been commissioned to make many cakes in gingerbread with a Harry Potter theme, and it was good to work with fruit cake as once the icing is on, it sets hard. This has been a nice creation to make as it contains engineering details and as I am a bit of a steam enthusiast. I like things to be detailed and this is really intricate cake art. People ask if I get upset that people are going to eat my cakes. I would much rather they were eaten than stored away in a cabinet."
A Wolverhampton food bank set up in memory of a much-loved former mayor who died in office has been given a new environmentally friendly delivery vehicle after its own was stolen. The Elias Matu Foundation Food Bank, named after the former councillor who died in 2018, has taken delivery of a new e-sprinter van, courtesy of the city's Mercedes-Benz specialists Midlands Truck and Van. Councillor Matu's wife Asha, herself a city councillor, was present to see the vehicle delivered, along with colleagues and fellow members of the foundation. As principal trustee of the charity, Councillor Asha Matu said, "Elias loved this city and its people. We wanted to set up a lasting legacy and continue his work in the community. The foundation is now well established and has delivered food parcels to those in need during hard times. As trustees, we looked at how we could improve our service even further and decided that our help in the community should have a positive impact on the environment. So we took the decision to go electric for our food deliveries." Fellow trustee member Councillor Paul Birch added, "This is a really significant addition to our service and I'm proud our work will be enhanced by going zero emissions for our food collections. I'm delighted we have been able to do this in partnership with Midlands Truck and Van. They are significant employers in our area, and it's brilliant to support local enterprise in the process of reducing our carbon footprint. This is a real win-win situation for the community, local business, and also public health.
A cycling instructor has won a national award for her outstanding efforts to train cyclists across Dudley. June Sawyer, who is part of the council's road safety team, was crowned as Trainer of the Year at the Celebration of Bikeability Day Awards. June was recognised for her brilliant work training a wide range of pupils, from young people with emotional, physical and behavioural issues to older first-time cyclists. The judges praised June's never-say-die attitude and kind, empathetic manner in naming her as the winner of this category, which acknowledges an individual who goes above and beyond to provide outstanding cycle training. Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Cabinet Member for Public Realm, said, "I'm delighted to hear June has received this award, and I'd like to wish her huge congratulations. She is truly committed to teaching people across the borough to cycle with confidence. This recognition reflects superbly on the efforts of our road safety team to make Dudley a safe place to cycle. If you'd like to learn how to ride a bike, then June and the rest of our road safety cycle instructors are here to help." Organised by the government's Bikeability UK Cycle Educational Programme, the celebration of Bikeability Day honours children who have completed their bikeability courses and the trainers who support and inspire them.
The much-loved Lighthouse Cinema in Wolverhampton is calling for a helping hand. The registered charity is seeking donations to help bridge a gap in expected income ahead of high-profile events scheduled for 2022. Enforced closures and audience limits throughout the pandemic have inflicted a financial hit on the iconic venue. The cinema reopened in June after being forced to close for 15 months due to the restrictions of the pandemic. The venue has been in Wolverhampton for more than 30 years. Kelly Jeffs, Lighthouse CEO, said, "Lighthouse has fought hard to make it through the pandemic so far, and we were delighted to be able to welcome visitors back to the cinema in the summer of 2021. There is so much in store for Lighthouse in the coming year, but we need your support to see us through to 2022 so that we can really capitalise on these new opportunities. We appreciate every donation, big or small, and any help people can give by spreading the word about the campaign. We have had so much encouragement from our supporters over the years, and we're hopeful they can come through for us again. A host of events are due to take place at the venue in 2022, including four exhibitions as part of the British Art Show 9, Deaf Fest 2022, Wolverhampton Literature Festival and the city's first film festival. Information on how to make a donation to the campaign can be found at lighthouse.co.uk or at crowdfunder.co.uk/supportourfuture.
Now we head over to our very own Flashback Roger, who as always has for us a bunch of amazing facts.
Hello everyone, here we are knocking on the door of Christmas again, and believe it or not, I'm struggling for ideas. So this week I've chosen a few favourites from past issues to air again. Ooh, I hear you say, more repeats than the Beeb, but I hope that you'll forgive me as it's Christmas. So now then, did you know that? This is a weird one, because according to the BBC, in 2013, a Brazilian man was killed in bed when a car fell through the roof and landed on him. As strange as this incident might seem, locals claim that it was the third time that a similar thing had happened in the area in the past 3 years, although no one was killed on the first two instances. And spam mail was named after the canned meat. In a Monty Python skit, they said it was horrible and inescapable. And also, did you know that on average, for every spam email sent, they only get one reply for every 12 million spam emails sent? Makes you wonder if it's even worth it, doesn't it? One of the earliest known vacuum cleaners was so large that it had to be hauled from house to house via a horse-drawn carriage. Its giant hoses were popped through the windows of customers, and the gas-powered motor generated the suction that pulled the dirt and debris into a glass container where onlookers could gawk at the volume of filth coming from their neighbours' homes. The next time you have a game of cards over Christmas, give a thought to this, because each king in a deck of playing cards represents a great king from history. Spades for King David, clubs, it's Alexander the Great, hearts for Charlemagne, and lastly diamonds for Julius Caesar. Well, there you go then, and I thought they were just pretty pictures. And chocolate was once money that literally grew on trees. In Mayan times in Central America, cocoa beans were used as currency and were considered to be worth more than gold dust. In order to keep the value of the cocoa beans in check, cultivation of cocoa trees was restricted. Otherwise, it would have been too tempting just to grow your own money. And if you're a romantic like me and sign letters, or more likely texts and emails to those you love with an X, then you're keeping up a sweet tradition that goes back hundreds of years. The Oxford English Dictionary says that an X was the first used to represent a kiss back in 1763 in a letter written by British naturalist Gilbert White. So folks, that's it. This year's band of offerings done and dusted. I hope that you've enjoyed listening as much as I have in digging them out. I'll be back in January with more to interest and delight you, so until then I wish you all a Merry Christmas and a very happy and healthy New Year. Any road up, I'm off to put my sprouts on to boil. I think they'll be done by the 25th. Till 2022 then. Ta-ra a bit. Ta-ra!
Up next, we have 10 Today. 10 Today is a series of 10-minute exercise sessions that can be done at home by anyone. New episodes will appear fortnightly.
Hello everyone, this is 10 Today, a 10-minute set of exercises to do at home to help keep yourself active. Before we get to today's presenter, a couple of housekeeping points to note. The 10 Today project is funded by the Big Lottery and Sport England, and when you're doing the exercises, it's important that you don't push yourself too far, and by taking part, you agree to 10 Today's terms and conditions. You can read these terms and conditions at tnflink.uk/10T, and the 10T is the digit 1, the digit 0, and the letter T. And please remember that you agree to take part at your own risk. Today's exercises are brought to you by Mike, and here he is.
Hello everyone, welcome to 10 Today, broadcast number 5. This is a short 10-minute physical activity routine which will get you moving and stretching. It's great for your health, including improving your balance and building up your strength. Just take it at your own pace. There are plenty of options. If an exercise feels too much, just take it easy and have a break. All the exercises can be done either stood up or sitting down, so just do whatever feels good for you today. We want you to do this exercise safely. You are responsible for monitoring how you're feeling throughout the session. So if you feel any discomfort or pain, for example, if you feel unwell or dizzy or experience palpitations, then please stop and seek medical advice. Please remember, you agree to take part at your own risk. If remaining seated, at least to begin with, it would be ideal if you can use a hard chair that you can sit upright in, which could be a dining chair, preferably without arms, which could get in the way in some exercises, and sit with your feet flat on the floor. Okay, if you're stood up, just step your feet hip width apart, relax your shoulders and stand up nice and tall. Take a couple of deep breaths. If you're sitting down, place both feet firmly on the floor. Keep your back straight, relax your shoulders and take a couple of deep breaths. In and out. In and out. So, the first exercise is called supporting the sky. Raise both arms together straight up to the ceiling, with your palms up, and then turn your palms to face down and push down. And again, so hands up and hands down. And repeat, remembering to push up with those palms supporting the sky and down. And now, keep going. This is a really good exercise just to get those wrists moving, and it stretches the muscles in your arms and shoulders, which can often get a little tight. It's also just a nice gentle warm-up. So we should have just a couple more now. So hands up with your palms up, and then palms down and hands down. And one more time, hands up and hands down. The next exercise is called dancing the rainbow. So you want to move your feet a little bit wider than hip width apart into a wide stance. You raise your right arm straight up with your palm up and push down. Now do the same with the left arm. Up and down. And keep going, remembering to turn the palm down on the way down. Keep going, alternating your arms. This is a really good exercise for strengthening those shoulders and arms. So keep going, remembering to change those arms and facing the palm up to the ceiling when you press up, and then palm facing down when you press down. So the next one is called kick the ball. If you're standing, I recommend you're near something that you can hold on to for balance. So if you swing your right leg forward, keeping it as straight as possible, and then swing it back to standing. So swinging your right leg, and keep repeating that action. If you're chair-based, straighten out your right leg right in front of you, feeling the nice stretch down your leg. Then return your foot to the floor and repeat. So whether you're sitting or standing, you're just swinging your right leg forward and back, imagining there's a ball in front of you that you want to kick. Do this a couple more times. This is great for mobilizing your hips, stretching your leg, and improving your balance. Now we're going to do exactly the same for the left leg. So swing your leg forward and back, forward and back, keeping that leg nice and straight. You might be starting to feel your heart rate go up a little now, but that's great. It just means you're building up your strength. And now a couple more times. We should all be feeling nice and warm now. Next up, it's the twister. Place your hands on your hips, relaxing those shoulders, and twist your upper body to the right, and then twist back to the center, and then to the other side. So just keep twisting your upper body from left to right, feeling that nice stretch in your side. And just keep going for a few more times. Good work. Definitely, you should be feeling warm now. Next up is moving legs. Again, if you're standing, you might want to be near something you can hold on to for balance. So raise your right leg out and straight. Then move it to the side so you feel that nice stretch in the top of your leg. Then move it back to the center and back down. Repeat this with the left leg. So lift your leg up straight out in front. Then move to the side, then back straight, and back down. So that's up, to the side, back straight, and back down. And again, do that a couple more times. This is really good for your hips, tummy, and thighs. Slow and controlled is more challenging and rewarding, so keep going. And remember to keep the leg straight. Lift your leg up straight out in front. Then move to the side. Then back straight. And back down. So up, to the side, back straight, and back down. And just a couple more times. Now we have circle the sky. Raise both arms together, straight up, and circle them in a small circle twice, using your shoulders to move too. And then push your arms down. And again, raise your arms together, straight up, circle them round twice, and push down. So raise your arms up, circle one, two, and push down. Again, this is a really good one for getting your shoulders moving and building up strength. Keep going, really moving those shoulders and arms. We should all be getting warm now. If you want to make it a little harder, move your shoulders in even bigger circles. So just a couple more here, lifting the arms up, circling twice, and pushing down. And just one more. Good. Next is going low. These exercises are slightly different if you're sitting or standing. So if you're standing, place your feet hip width apart, bend at your knees, and try to keep your back straight. And then straighten up your legs again. Keep your feet facing forward and try not to let your knees move in front of your toes. So you're just moving up and down by bending your legs. A little bit like a mini squat. If you're sitting, just straighten out your right leg right in front of you, feeling that nice stretch down your leg, then return your foot to the floor. And repeat on the other side. Whichever variation you're doing, you're working your legs. If you're standing, you're also working your bottom. Okay, so keep going, always remembering to keep your back straight. And for those of you who are standing, bending knees down and then up and sitting, raising alternate legs. If you're standing, can you make it more challenging by going down slowly and holding at the bottom briefly? Right, just a few more. Next, butterfly wings. So this is a nice exercise where you're rolling your shoulders back. Bend your arms so both hands are at chest height, and then use your arms to move your shoulders back in nice large circles, using both arms at the same time. If this is a bit challenging, you can do one arm at a time. So keep moving, circling both arms from the back. This is great for the shoulders and upper back. So keep moving. They can be quite energetic, these. Make the circle as wide as you can and keep going. Just a couple more now. Now we have charging the fists. Whether you're standing or sitting, place your feet hip distance apart in a strong stance. Clench your fists, holding them at chest height, and then punch out with your right hand and pull back. And repeat the punch with your left. Keep going, punching with alternate hands. It's a great stress buster, this one. Really think about how your muscles are responding here, making the punches slow and controlled. Just a couple more now. Good job. Now, we really should all be feeling warm. If you're feeling a little out of breath, well, that's a good thing. It means you've been working.
If you're not a little out of breath, I think you could probably work a little bit harder next time. Anyway, we're nearly finished for today. We'll just finish off with a nice stretch and cool down. So we're going to start with a hamstring stretch. So step forward with your right foot, placing your foot out in front of you with your foot flat on the floor. Then bend your left leg and put your hands on your hips and just lean forward slightly. And whether you're sitting or standing, you should feel a nice stretch down the back of the leg. Hold it for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Then return to a standing position and swap your legs. So this time step forward with your left foot, placing your foot out in front of you with your foot flat out on the floor. Then bend your right leg and just lean forward slightly. Again, feeling that nice long stretch. Hold for another 10 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And the final stretch, hugging a tree. Just hold your arms out in front of you, just like you're hugging a tree, directly in front of you. And your arms, they form a nice circle in front of you. Then cup your hands, putting one hand in front of the other, and push your hands together, feeling that nice stretch across your shoulders and arms. Again, another 10 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now, sit up or stand up and return to that nice, relaxed posture we had at the beginning. Brilliant. So, that was all the exercises for today. Hope you enjoyed them. Just to finish off, shake it out. So, just shake those arms and hands, and then your legs and feet. Great work, everyone. Doing 10 today just 3 times a week can have great health benefits. It's fun and you'll simply feel better. So do keep going. Thanks for listening.
Now we have our sportsman Ian giving you all the latest football news from Wolves and West Bromwich Albion.
Hello, I'm Ian and here's your latest football news. It's a ground where the Baggies haven't won since 1947, and Albion's woes at Oakwell continued after they were held to a goalless draw by Barnsley. Baggies boss Valerian Ismail returned to South Yorkshire to take on the side he guided into the playoffs last term, and the Frenchman watched as his team saw 3 chances cleared off the goal line, while a host of other opportunities also went begging. Jordan Hughill and Carlin Grant both saw efforts kept out by excellent blocks on the line. Cedric Kipre hit the post, while Callum Robinson and Darnell Furlong also had decent chances. As has often been the case this season, though, Albion just couldn't find that final bit of quality they needed. With Ismail's side doing enough to win this game comfortably, but ultimately having to settle for a point. Speaking after the match, Ismail, when asked if they were looking to sign a striker, said, "It's been many weeks now that our target is clear in the front position. It is a reality that you need to score goals to win games. You need the player who is able to score goals. We have Carlin Grant, we have Robbo, but we need more support, more impact, to make sure we can win games. We have to do something on one of the 3 front positions. We're trying everything. It's clear that it's better if you can get a player in as quickly as possible and not wait until the last minute, because we have so many games. We need to do something quickly." A game of 2 halves saw Wolves survive some second-half scares and take a point at home to Chelsea. The hosts enjoyed a good first 45 minutes as they held on to the ball well and aggressively hunted Chelsea down when the visitors were in possession. Daniel Podence had a goal disallowed as Raul Jimenez interfered with play while in an offside position, but Wolves entered half-time content with their display. But in the second half, Chelsea got to grips with the game plan and began to push Wolves back and dominate possession. Christian Pulisic had the best of a number of openings, but the home defence stood firm for a fifth clean sheet in seven Premier League games. Reflecting on the match, boss Large said, "We prepared the game, and the players did what I asked for the strategy. We had more time on the ball, and we put it on them to run. We created two good chances to score. In the second half, they had time to adapt, and as the big team they are, they came with everything. They also created one big chance. It's a good point for us with the first 45 minutes with the way I want my team to play. Maybe we deserve more, but we move on. It's 1 point."
Cheers for that roundup, Ian. Now we have the weather, brought to us by Mina.
The weather for this week ahead looks to be seasonably wintry with an average temperature of around 4 degrees. UV levels are expected to be low throughout the week. The sunrise and sunset times are 8:20 a.m. for the sunrise and 4 p.m. for the sunset. For Christmas Eve, we have light rain and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 6 degrees. On Christmas Day, we have sleet showers and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 4 degrees. Moving on to Boxing Day, we have sleet and a little breeze with a maximum temperature of 4 degrees. On Monday 27th of December, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 4 degrees. On Tuesday 28th of December, we have sleet and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 4 degrees. For Wednesday 29th of December, we have light snow showers and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 4 degrees. And finally, on Thursday 30th of December, we have sleet and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 5 degrees. So that's your forecast for this week. As always, enjoy the weather.
Ooh, well, that sounds like hats and gloves weather to me. Up now, we have a feature from TNF, which is a poem about Christmas in World War One.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
There are many games in football, the beautiful game that may stand out in history, but there's probably one, appropriate for Christmas time, that is the most famous football game of all. And that's the subject of a poem by Rotherham poet Sid Oates, who's submitted it to us. It's called The Beautiful Game. December came with ice-cold hands that gripped the Western Front. Fresh-faced lads are standing too, prepared to bear the brunt. Bloodshot eyes stare skyward to greet the winter dawn, await a walk to no man's land, to advance with bayonets drawn. As autumn turned to winter with ever-increasing doubt, war was here and here to stay, now that the lights were out. No hope of peace by Christmas, expectations now concealed, just endless days of lassitude beside the battlefield. Burden hearts with thoughts of home fill minds on Christmas Eve, articulate in carol song, forgetting horrors they'd conceived. The sound of voices fills the air, drifts through the mist in foreign tongue. Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht. In harmony, resound from old and young. The frozen fields of France stood still as songs of peace were sung. Two tongues, one song, filled up the dawn through frost so bitter hung. And in that moment, new hope was born, and France was France once more, the sound of carols filling empty fields devastated by the war. A flag of truce from German lines now fluttered in the breeze, a simple Christmas message for two armies to appease. And one by one, from frozen trenches, they met in no man's land to smoke a fag, share photographs, and shake each other's hand. And in that twilight moment, foe versus foe now fraternized, shared words of waiting loved ones, their hopes now galvanized. Then from the trench, a ball appeared, and a lively game ensued. How marvellously wonderful, yet how strange this interlude. For just 1 hour, the game was played, cheered on by gleeful voices. No thought of war from either side, while all around rejoices. But orders filtered down the line and brought closure to that game. The ones who called the shots that day would not become the dead and lame. That one symbolic moment brought scorn from high command when ordinary soldiers exchanged gifts in no man's land. That act against authority showed humanity still glowed, where man's love for his brother and mercy overflowed. The etiquette of war was dashed, now Christmas seemed surreal, incongruous deeds forgotten on the blood-soaked battlefield. But 4 more years of slaughter and carnage lay ahead before the final whistle blew, 2 million would be dead. So many killed in battle, their names now carved with pride. Endless rows of headstones commemorate the ones who died. They gave their lives for all of us, leaving all they held devout, and finally passed from sight of man as the light of hope went out.
TNS Soundings.
Up now, we hear from Mina, who has for us the answers to this week's quiz.
Hello, and here are your answers for this week's flashback quiz. Are you ready? Question 1. Where in the world was a man killed by a falling cow? And the answer, it's Brazil. Question 2. How many spam emails are sent in order to get a single reply? And the answer here is 12 million. Question 3. How were the first vacuum cleaners powered? And the answer is by gas. Question 4. What were the names of the kings depicted by playing cards? And the answer here is David, Alexander, Charlemagne and Julius Caesar. Question 5. What did the ancient Mayans use for currency? And of course, the answer is cocoa beans. And finally, question 6. In what year was an X first known to be used as a kiss in a letter? And the answer here is 1763. How did you do? Great, I hope. But if not, there's always another chance to have a go when we return in the new year. Now, did you get the answer to this week's Guess the Sound question that Rob asked at the start of the show? Here's one more chance to hear it before I tell you the answer. The sound you just heard was a recording of someone feeling a tree. Now, to end this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we turn to Craig, who this week has for us facts all about Christmas.
Hello, I'm Craig, and I have for you this week some facts about the magical time of year known as Christmas. Robbing on cards were a joke 150 years ago when postmen wore red tunics and were named after them. Although not mostly vegetarian, in Victorian times, mince pies were made with beef and spices. Tradition of pushing tangerines in stockings comes from 12th century French nuns who left socks full of fruit, nuts and tangerines at the houses of the poor. The traditional meal in England was a pig's head and mustard. Many parts of the Christmas tree can actually be eaten, with the needles being a good source of vitamin C. The best-selling Xmas single ever is Bing Crosby's White Christmas, shifting over 50 million copies worldwide since 1942. Christmas pudding was in a soup made with raisins and wine. Boxing Day gets its name from all the money collected in church arm boxes for the poor. There were many names for Christmas during the old times, and these include midwinter, Nativity and Yule. Those are my facts about Christmas. I hope you have a great one. Thank you for listening.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us. Ta-ra!